This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our sometimes weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, attempts to combine 69 and 420, and understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and on the other side of the Cascade Mountains for a year. He's Brandon from the internet.
Okay, first of all, 6 months. Second of all, you can tell that I've been here for a long time because I've finally found the place where I can wear my camo MLS Cup Champions hat and not feel weird about it.
Oh, I hadn't noticed that it was camo because I have the pictures shrunk down so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely like if you look at the bottom of it, very camo. If you look at the front and back and the rest of it, it's also very camo. So I feel like this was because like Clint Dempsey played for us. So let's make something that he will wear and he doesn't.
I hate to break it to you, but you just got canceled.
Ah, crap. Because I got camo cultured.
Yeah, you got camoed. Is that true or false? Is that Spokane's greatest fear right now is cancel culture?
I would say that Spokane's greatest fear is liberals. You know, they're gonna get you. They're gonna turn your kids liberal.
Do us a quick solid and click. But never mind. I was gonna make an awful, awful joke, and you just can't say that stuff. I'm not okay. Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely five stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounder FC player.
Or front office administrator from Craig, or front office administrator's hairstyle from Craig Wable's bald head, which is a lot harder to say now that I'm reading it out loud. Craig Wable's bald head to Garth Lagerwey's 90s braids.
Wait, does he got braids going on right now?
No, in the 90s he did though.
Oh, okay.
When he
I'm
was
sorry.
The goalkeeper from some team in the other rest of the MLS, he had like a crazy, you know, like Coolio. Had like the different hair sticking off it. So Garth Lagerwey had like the cultural appropriation version of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm looking it up.
Definitely look it up.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks way different.
Yeah, he's skinny.
Oh, weird. Yeah, he definitely He had the undercut. Long hair undercut, and then he had it braided up with the colorful rubber bands in it.
It looks like, it kind of looks like when, so I have a younger sister who's 10 years younger than me, right?
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, she was a baby. And so, you know, when like babies don't have a lot of hair and then they start to grow it out, especially if it's a young girl or a baby girl, your parents are like scared that people are going to think it's a boy because we're, especially in Spokane, we're scared of different genders.
Of course.
So they always put like braids in like the littlest amount of hair in a baby girl, right? Just to be like, look, they have a braid. It's a girl. That's what Garth Lagerwey's hair looks like.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the dog breed, the Shih Tzu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Shih Tzu hairstyle oftentimes gets applied, where there's that one tiny little like sprout of top knot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think of.
This opens up like a whole new, not like the Shih Tzu thing, but this the idea of like ranking front office, like Sounders front office administrators hairstyles has opened up something for me to the point where I'm like thinking, okay, who else in or around the Sounders front office or maybe like coaching staff has had an interesting, because we've always talked about like the many hairstyles of DeAndre Yedlin, Tyrone Mears, not new who, even Raul Ruiz Diaz, you know, we've talked about the many different hairstyles that all of these different players have had, But now I'm trying to think of the, like, did Garth, did Siggy Schmidt ever rock a mohawk?
Oh, dude, are you kidding? That'd be awesome.
It would have been awesome.
Ah, he did. That's too bad.
Yeah, sad. R.I.P. in pieces. In peace.
This week, the blind from carbon freezing Sounders FC take on the grand and terrifying Sarlacc pit, where they'll be digested slowly and rather painfully over the course of 1,000 years.
Turns out that purple pattern on their jerseys was stomach acid.
Bummer. Thanks for downloading the pod. Thanks for everything. You want to catch up with us anywhere else, full90podcast.com is our link tree to our OnlyFans and to everything else that we're everywhere else you can find us. So support us. You just mentioned the Purple Haze kits. Turned out that seeing those, I loved them. Loved them. The season ticket holder scarves.
When I first read that, I thought you were talking about the, I thought that the season ticket holder scarf was the Jimi Hendrix inspired scarf that came, you know, out the same day as the kit. And then I looked at the picture that you dropped in and I'm like, what is going on there? It's like purple and orange and yellow. It has the colors, but like,
it looks like it is your birthday, period. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like it's like Dwight Schrute.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I should take that all back because whoever designed it, I'm sorry. You probably
It's a supporter, right? It's like a Sounder supporter had a season ticket member designed that scarf.
And then we all voted for it, so there we go.
Well, and I read, so I went to Reddit to see what the reactions to this were. Like, are we just overly critical jerks or like, what are other people's reaction? I mean, the answer is yes. But what is the reaction to this from, you know, other supporters? And I went and looked and one person said that a bunch of them voted on it before they knew what they voted on it in grayscale because like these people weren't designing scarves with the fact that the Purple Haze jersey colors were going to be what they are. This scarf matches those Purple Haze jerseys, so it seems like Sounders FC took the opportunity to take this scarf design and turn it into a complimentary scarf to the new jersey. But a couple of the reactions on Reddit, this one says, "Welp, this one will be staying in my collection of yearly scarves and never leaving my house." And then my personal favorite, "I literally thought this was a box of spaghetti."
That is sad.
I think it's probably because like when they opened it up in the box and it was all folded over and you just had those like orange tassels at the end, it probably just looked like a spaghetti monster.
I don't even have to rationalize it. It is it's just fine. My god. Yeah, it's but like I look at the design, I'm like digging in, just getting a little bit closer here, literally leaning in on my screen. And the design looks pretty cool. Like, I like the idea.
I mean, it looks like you get a little skyline on one side, and then you get, like, a marquee sign, like the Paramount out on the other side that says Seattle Sounders on it. Really, I mean, like, really cool. Also, at the same time, it seems like one of those things where when sometimes, like, you see your friend sharing on Facebook, look, everybody, I'm nominated for cutest baby on this Facebook group. Everybody go vote. Yeah. It kind of looks like somebody who just has a lot of friends who went in and voted, like, 100 times each.
Best of Western Washington Award.
Yeah. It's hard to say. It's hard to think.
Where Fitz would spend like an entire 3 months just talking about it on the radio to win it, and then he'd be like, "Look, I'm the best morning show host ever, according to all my loving fans."
Yeah, it definitely looks like one of those fan designs.
Hey, shout out to whoever nominated me 1 year. I think that's really nice. That was really sweet of you. I proceeded to not do anything with it, but
thanks, Lori.
No, are you? My wife doesn't like me.
Or listen to you.
Yeah, come on. She wouldn't. That would not be a thing.
Anyway, right. If you listen to this podcast and you design that scarf, just...
I'm sorry that they butchered it with the colors. They will blame someone else.
I honestly do think that if this were in Sounders, you know, blue and green, it would look a lot better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I just think it's hard to... Maybe in person, too, it'll look cool. It's just hard to make those colors work together without it being like a professional graphic designer using
has to be done
techniques
very well, like the Sounders jersey was, like the colors were used in the exact right kind of proportions.
Yeah. Good. All right, so we're leading up to, at the time of recording this, we're now 9 days away from the home opener that I won't be at, and people are going to be in the stands. How exciting that we'll have 7,000, which seems weird since the city said they could have, or the state said they could have 9,000, but 7,000 fans will be able to attend the matches, starting by opening it up to season ticket holders. I don't know what their system looks like. I kind of ran around looking for how that was going to play out, but it seems like it's kind of confusing for everybody. None of my friends in my season ticket pod have any idea either. So what do you got?
It's weird. It's
whoever has the most gam and tam money.
Yeah. If you are able to somehow get the Sounders along with Nico Ladero to sign Luis Suarez to the team, you get all the tickets. So it's kind of confusing. I mean, it is just straight up confusing. So on April 13th, so that's mm-hmm. That's next Wednesday, or Tuesday or something. The Sounders. Sales are being opened to season ticket members, and they're getting priority access before the general public. That basically means, for such a small inventory of tickets, that everything is going to be sold out by the time that it becomes available to the general public.
To be clear, it's 30,000-ish season ticket holders, and there's 7,000-ish tickets that are going to be available, so only one in about four people will actually be able to score tickets.
And that's one in about four season ticket members, not even considering the, you know, vast number of people, you know, probably 20,000 other people who regularly attend games, right?
Yeah.
And so if all of the tickets... So and these season ticket members, I think this is... You take care of the people who support you year over year, give you, you know, a bunch of money to pay for season tickets first, right? You take care of those consistent fans. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to give it to season ticket members, especially when it's a group of as large as it is, okay? They are going to be given access to buy tickets to any and all of the five games if they would like to. Those go on sale to the general public on the 14th. You got to imagine that on the 13th, everything's gone. So you're talking about 7,000 tickets per game for five games. That's 35,000, I think, if I know math, which I don't. It's 35,000 tickets. And many of those people are going to be buying many, you know, multiple games.
So that's
tickets.
Where my question lays, is that how are you going to make it other than whoever gets in fastest? Like, is it just going to be... the same group of season ticket holders that buys all five matches and then everyone else is screwed? Or do you get kicked to the back of the queue if you get tickets? Or how is it going to work out? And have
so
they thought that through?
Season ticket members have been given two different access windows with the inaugural season ticket members, like the people who have been season ticket members since day one, getting first dibs for an hour, and then I think like the second hour it opens up to the rest of the season ticket holders. It might all be sold out by the time even that second wave gets it. I don't know exactly how big the number of the inaugural people is, but it's you know, it's at least a couple of thousand, right? If all of those people are, you know, remaining season ticket holders. So anyway, it's going to be interesting. Don't get your hopes up if you're not currently a season ticket holder. as terrible as that sound. That said, you got to imagine there's going to be a big secondary market for these tickets. I would imagine that some of these guys are going to go in and buy a ton of, like, buy tickets to all of the games, even the ones that they can't go to, and then try to sell them on the secondary market.
That sucks. If that's the case, that is absolutely
You got to think that because these are real people with real tickets connected to their accounts, and the Sounders and the rest of MLS and other leagues have done a lot over the last few years using systems like SeatGeek and, you know, Ticketmaster and all of these different things, trying to really clamp down on price gouging on tickets. And so you think that maybe because these are real people with real tickets, bots aren't going to be able to have gone in there and buy a bunch of tickets and try to sell them for 400% of their selling price, that maybe that secondary market won't be insane. But people have proven over and over to be terrible. So
I was along for the ride for those 4 years where the worst person was making the decisions and the person who would definitely buy them up and resell them for a profit. Like, there are plenty of actual human beings that are capable of being very, very turd-like. So
So, and as far as COVID goes, I mean, this is maybe too much detail, but everything's being sold in pods. So you have to buy actually a pod of tickets. Those pods range between 2 and 6 people. You have to buy the entire pod. Your pod has to be from the same household or a new term, permissible quarantining unit, or a PQU, if you will. You can actually transfer those pods, but you have to transfer the entire pod of tickets as a single unit. And then no more than 2 ticket pods will share a single row. So social distancing, everybody has to wear a mask as long as you're over the age of 2. So you're welcome, babies, for not having to wear a mask. Go Spokane.
Are they going to, and then like, you're going to be able to take your mask off if you're drinking beers, I'm guessing. We'll see how all that works out after the first match here, a week from Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. So my bigger issue for this team is the lack of competitive play that they're seeing right now. Everyone's kind of in their preseasons. Some teams are down in Tucson for the, I forget if it's Desert Diamond or Casino of the Sun Cup or whatever it is, down there playing and enjoying some sunshine and some 85, 95 degree weather or whatever. And Seattle's up here kind of training solo. Phoenix Rising was supposed to come, but because of COVID reasons, they didn't make it up for scrimmaging. So the team has just largely been playing against one another. And that seems like it's going to not be super fruitful.
Yeah, they have one. I think they'll play one more. They played one preseason game against Portland. They played, I think, one preseason game against Seattle U or something like that. And they've been playing a lot of intra-squad scrimmages against like Tacoma Defiance players. They will play one more competitive, training match against the San Diego Loyal SC, which I think is that the team that's coached by Landon Donovan?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so kind of interesting there. So they'll play one more, but that's USL talent, right? Like, they've only really played one game against an MLS quality side, if you consider Fartland MLS quality, in the last, month. And I've seen from many managers in MLS, you've seen a lot of concern around player fitness. Now, that said, you watch the Sounders inter-squad scrimmage between, side A and side B, and it's a mixture of starters on both of those sides. And like Freddie Montero and Will Bruin are scoring like Obafemi Martins and Clint Dempsey goals. Like Will Bruin backheeling through balls to Freddie Montero, who's then curling it in. Nuhu scissor kick tackling Freddie Montero just to make sure that he never plays another game for Seattle. It's all there.
Nuhu versus Montero is the matchup I did not know I needed, but boy, it's
it feels like in the terms of unlikely, and I'm hoping like this is complete Sounders fanfic at this point, but
sure. Like this whole podcast is
it feels like if Nuhu and Freddie Montero becomes like the unlikely friendship, it feels very much like that could be the modern sequel to Karate Kid. Like one guy that like speaks Spanish and owns a coffee shop training this other kid who speaks French and is from Cameroon and makes no money on how to be like a decent soccer player or a coffee shop owner. I don't know.
Well, you got to have a backup plan there. Freddie looks like he's pretty stoked to be back. I like that really more mature Freddie Montero. We talked about it last time where he like was a bit of a lazy player in his previous stint with Seattle. A hero, obviously, scored all the goals and everything. But there's a lot of times where I'd be screaming at the TV or at the pitch for him to get back and help out when they were vulnerable or to just make a run or whatever, and he wouldn't do it. Now he seems like he's a lot soccer smarter. He seems like he's really excited to be here in Seattle where some of his family is. That commute's probably a little bit easier. So it looks promising. And he's like, like you said, dropping hat tricks and stuff like that. Again, it's just scrimmaging and you don't read anything into that. But it's nice to see a guy looking so comfortable.
He scored 4 goals in that preseason match. And at least the 3 that I saw were were all class. I mean, they were all great goals. The second one where he like chips Stefan Fry, I think, is who the goalkeeper was on the other side, chips him on a like a kind of a half volley. The first one was that back heel through ball. I'm not making that up. That was like a back heel through ball from Will Bruin, and he just like gently curls it into the far post. It's going to be interesting. So the reason, though, like Will Bruin is the guy making that back heel and not Raul Ruiz Diaz, which is what we all want to see, right? Like, we want to see, what's this Raul? Like, are we going to get a Freddie Clint, or sorry, a Clinton Oba 2.0 with Raul and Freddie? I think that's wishful thinking. However, Raul hasn't been in preseason with the rest of the team because he's been in Peru trying to get his green card. So when you try to get a green card for the United States, you actually have to go out of the country and wait for that application to go through. So a lot of players will go up to like their country's embassy up in like Vancouver, for instance. But now that the border's closed, we can't be making those kinds of trips to Canada. So he stayed in Peru, where he was spending his off season and you know, working out on his own and individually, waiting to get a green card. That process took a lot longer than I think the Sounders front office and even Raul Ruiz Diaz himself were anticipating. And I think that that's been frustrating. Brian Spencer has talked about how frustrating it is because he wants to see and start to get Freddie Montero and Raul Ruiz Diaz together to get comfortable with each other.
Wow. So is the green card then more feared than the red card? Unless, of course, you're Arriaga.
I think that Raul Ruiz Diaz was pursuing his green card with the same vigor that Arriaga pursues his red cards.
Five a season.
But, I mean, it is a great, I mean, it's worth it for the Sounders for a Raul to get that green card spot. A, it means, I mean, I think it shows it shows some commitment to from Raul to stay with this team, that the fact that he's trying to get, permanent residency here in the country.
Wait, isn't he on an eight-figure contract, though? Like, I mean, obviously, there's other reasons why that's pretty
It does show his, like, you know, he could still go sign if he gets a nine-figure contract from some other team, right? Like, go sign somewhere else. He's not going to go make $100 million anywhere, I promise. But does the nine-figure include decimal places? But on top of that, it opens up an international spot on the Sounders roster if they wanted to go sign somebody else, as if Garth Lagerwey would ever do that during this transfer window.
No. We got to wait till the end of the season to make those moves happen. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad that it looks like he's on his way. I saw a Instagram story of him being, I don't know what he said, but effectively like, see you nerds later, Peru. and then got out of there or whatever. So it looks like, is he already back in Seattle? They were anticipating him coming back by as early as Friday.
Yeah, he left like a few days ago, I'm pretty sure, or a couple of days ago. I'm sure there might be some weird quarantining process that he has to go through upon arrival. So, but he's already had COVID, I'm pretty sure. So I think we're in the clear.
Twice.
Yeah, twice. Great. 69 times.
Hey, you mentioned a guy at the top there when we were making fun of people's hair that they can't control. And, well, one guy's hair we couldn't control, but the other guy made some choices. Sporting director, Seattle Sounders FC have appointed someone new to replace Chris Henderson, Craig Wabel. What do we know about old Craigery there?
Craigery, Wag Crabel. So after Chris Henderson, former sporting director and VP of soccer operations.
Wait a second. Is this Steve Rabel in Wario disguise? Shades his head. He's like, it's a me, Craig Wabel.
It's like that Felix Hernandez commercial where he's like, no, it's a me, Felix Hernandez.
They're like, Bernandez.
Bernandez, yeah. So Craig Wabel, also sporting director, just reminding me, like Sporting Kansas City FC, sporting director City FC, Craig Wabel, is, yeah.
Oh, I definitely thought it was sporting, like he was the from Sporting. Oh, no.
No. He's, sporting direct. I almost said it again. Craig Wabel is the new guy to replace the departing Chris Henderson, who now works for Inter Miami and who's been stealing, Kelvin Leerdam and Dutch people left and right. He's it's really a problem, the amount of Dutch people who are disappearing and just showing up in Miami. Actually, that kind of sounds like what happens to Cubans.
Sad.
Yeah. So Craig Wabel worked with and was the GM, or like you know, counterpart to Garth Lagerwey back when Garth Lagerwey was the GM at Real Salt Lake.
Oh, cool.
After Garth Lagerwey departed, Wavell stuck around for a couple more years, eventually getting promoted to Garth's old position at Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake is, if you were to look at their success or lack thereof under Wavell as GM, you would say, like, why are we hiring this guy to direct our soccer operations, right? There's a lot more going on at that club, including a bunch of lawsuits from current front office staff against the owner of that team, who's like a racist and
alleged
racist. So and that team was not spending money on players, right? So Craig Wavell was kind of hamstrung at that team, not being able to really do.
Oh, perfect! He'll fit in perfectly here. He's got hamstring problems. That's great.
He was hamstrung, and now he will hamstring.
Sign him now, whatever price. I don't care. 8 figures. Let's go.
So he is back with Garth Lagerwey, paired up. When those two were together, and RSL was kind of at its height. They were doing great things down at RSL, and specifically
like magic.
Yeah, they were doing. Yeah, it was kind of like a Penn and Teller type thing. It was Lagerwey and Wavell. The specific best thing about what they were doing, according to many, including RSL supporters, is that their youth pipeline, their youth development pipeline, which RSL has been known for along with other teams like Dallas, was just firing on all cylinders. They were just really taking advantage of the youth. That's not what I'm trying to say. Let's just say their youth pipeline was flourishing. So they're getting a lot of homegrown players who were contributing to the team in big ways.
Okay, good.
Okay. I don't know how else to say it without talking. I can't talk about kids.
Their youth development program was superb. There we go.
It was good. Okay. So Wavell, a little bit about him. He's born in Portland, but he actually grew up in Spokane, which is pretty cool.
Double bad.
He graduated from the same high school that my wife actually went to, just like 30 or 25 years before her.
Oh. Did he also have that awesome hair before he decided to go with the?
I don't know. I want to know which 90s rapper he appropriated his hairstyle from back then. but he played actually for the Sounders in the A League. I think it was between 1999 and 2000. And then he went and played in MLS for the Earthquakes and then the Dynamo when the Earthquakes got moved to Houston. He's won 4 MLS Cups. He's got some pedigree in the league. He isn't the biggest name. It sounds like the Sounders had some like assistant coaches from the Premier League. It sounds like they had just a bunch of other people who had their hat in the ring for this, but Wavell won it out, and it's really fun to say his name. We're gonna get a new kind of magic show in Seattle, the Lagerwey and Wavell show.
So I don't have the stats in front of me, I just have the impression, this is just from the gut, that the two of them together at Real Salt Lake made a team in a place that you wouldn't expect to be good flourish. Mm-hmm. That they were instrumental. We got Garth Lagerwey here. Everyone expected big things. I got 2 stars tattooed on my arm because of it. He's been an instrumental addition and a huge part of the continued Sounders success. If the team he was at previously, he worked with a guy that made a unlikely place be successful, that's a great addition then. And if you're going to lose Chris Henderson, we should explain what the job is. Chris Henderson would travel throughout Latin America and the world even.
Korea is where we got Kim, and Chris Henderson was there scouting him.
He traveled around the world to find the next talent for the team. And so if at a time Real Salt Lake was killing it because that guy had a hand in that, then this is awesome. It should be good news, and I look forward to not caring about what the front office does because it's boring, but also knowing that we likely have a good pairing there.
Yeah, look, this doesn't mean the Sounders are going to be able to, with Wavell and Lagerwey, going to be able to go out and just start signing a bunch of big names. But Garth Lagerwey in some interviews has said, like, look, we don't need those big names because when we signed Ladero, he wasn't a household name in MLS, right? Not everybody's going to know him, but now people do because he's a consistent year-over-year MVP candidate. Not everybody knew, barely anybody knew who Raul Ruiz Diaz was, this like obscure striker from Peru who came and instantly made an impact for this team. So
a Montreal impact,
which RIP Pepper,
oh boy, in peace.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean that we're going to, especially now after COVID, it doesn't mean that the Sounders are going to start going making big splashy signings, that they've replaced Chris Henderson. But what it does mean is that you're going to get a lot of, you know, collaboration in that front office and finally going to have, hopefully, a much more robust and, productive youth pipeline to start to get some of those young players who the Sounders are already doing a pretty good job. You saw in that preseason inter squad scrimmage, some of those young guys were scoring goals, and like there's this like Josh Atencio scored this like crazy outside the box half like volley, full volley goal that was incredible. So like the Sounders young kids are doing great. But if you can increase that pipeline to where you're consistently not only developing players who can contribute to your team, but also then go and sell those players to European clubs and get even more money, which is like the ultimate goal, then you know, that's great. And if Weibel can help him do that, then, you know, all the more power to him.
Isn't it crazy how in the last 2, 3, 4 seasons that, you know, MLS is constantly like, no, we're not a seller's league. We're a serious development league for, we're going to be a real, you know, we're going to be a real worldwide force. And then you look at all the players, the Americans that have suddenly gone to the biggest clubs in Europe and are killing it. And it like is very exciting to know that, yeah, we should be shipping some of these American players off to even bigger clubs for bigger heights to try and build a better product here. I think it's rad to see that. And I hope that they're smart enough to lean into it. Letting Jordan Morris go and do that very short stint in Swansea, I think that was like a really good indicator that even Seattle Sounders aren't close-minded to that happening, especially when there's money on the line.
And MLS needs to kind of recognize, and I think does for the most part recognize, where it sits on like the world soccer landscape, right? Like you're not going to be a Premier League, a La Liga, a Ligue 1. Like you are a development league. At the end of the day, the best that you can do, I mean, people talk about it as a retirement league. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that you're giving older players second chances to continue their career and possibly work their way back up into those top levels. And you're giving young players a platform to show what they can do at a professional level so that they can then go get, you know, small contracts at some of the larger European clubs. So that's where MLS is. I think to think about it as anything else is you're confused.
All right, let's talk about concussions. Poor old Kakaru from Yokozuna now to retirement, a sport where the concussions are out of control from fat guys smashing into each other. One of the greats is gone. That is not actually where I think you thought I was going to go with that.
That isn't where I thought you were going. I thought you were going to go where I was helping my friends move last Friday, and I got hit in the head with like a big steel lamp, and I think I got a concussion. I thought, how did Greg know about that?
I channeled my inner Kakaru, and
I didn't know concussions gave you telekinesis.
We're going to circle back around on that after the pod there, Brandon. such a great job. Okay, there's a change to the rules now that I think MLS is doing such a great job with, and I don't know what the policy is in the other leagues because I have been so underwater with my professional life that I'm not following, but there's an update. MLS is implementing a concussions subs rule.
So, I mean, we were just talking about MLS as a development club or as a development league for other big leagues in the country.
We debuted VAR, baby. Woo!
We did. So VAR first got tested by FIFA, the global governing body of soccer. The VAR was first implemented in MLS because they were like, who cares if it sucks? It's MLS. And then they employed that sucky system to the rest of the world. So they kind of see, I think FIFA kind of sees MLS as this testing ground for new policies that they're considering. One of those policies is this new concussion substitution protocol. And what that means is, so last year during COVID, I think because of fitness and a variety of other reasons, they implemented a 5 substitution rule. So you can make a total of 5 substitutions. Your team can make a total of 5 substitutions over 3 substitution periods during the game. Like you can, at 3 times you can make substitutions, you can make up to 5 of them. You can make 5 separate substitutions, okay? That was way more complicated than it needed to be.
Yeah, you could still do 3 subs. 3 times you could stop the match to do a sub. It's just that you have a total of 5 people that you can bring on.
Right. Okay. So now you can still do that. You have those 5 substitutions. However, if anybody on the field on your team is suspected to have received a concussion, you can now make a additional substitution for that player, and that does not count against your 5. And it doesn't count, and it doesn't have to be made during one of those 3 substitutions that you make. And you can do that twice. So you have realistically, if 2 guys on your team get bonked, you could realistically have up to 7 substitutions in a match. And so everybody except your backup goalkeeper and potentially your backup goalkeeper could see the field with an 18-man roster, 17 of those players.
Wow.
No, all 18 of them. You have 11 on the field, 7 on the bench.
Yeah.
Everybody can play.
Oh, it's like AYSO. It's what Spokane is afraid of. Everyone can play, and we won't keep track of score.
Everybody can get a trophy. So if 2 of your players get a concussion or are hit in the head, and it's expected that they might have a concussion, you can sub them out for somebody who doesn't have a concussion. You can do that twice.
Sweet.
But as long as you're not the 3rd guy to get a concussion, because if you're the 3rd guy to get bonked, you're dead. sorry, you just got to tough this one out.
We're going 80s style on this one.
we're gonna go John Olerud on this one and make you wear a helmet for the rest of the match.
Wrap his head in some sort of gross white bandage.
It's Nate Jaquia.
Poor Jaquia.
I don't. Do you remember that when he? Was that an Open Cup match that he got hit in the head and then was just like bleeding profusely? Bleeding.
Oh my god, that was f-ing awesome. We're joking, of course. If you can't see the faces we're making as we say that stuff,
they're very sarcastic looking faces.
Yes. I feel like I live in that space. Either I'm mad at my 3-year-old or I have sarcasm face going, so that's good. Yeah. Okay, well, that's exciting. It's nice to see the MLS could be the place where things get tested out that work out for everybody. I can't wait till the first time we see a player that, like, gets kicked in the leg, falls down, grabs his head because they need an extra sub.
It's exactly what I was thinking. Like, how many times is it going to be like, oh, you know, we've already made our 5 subs and now Jordan Morris is holding his hamstring and we are going to effectively be playing with 10 men. Hey, Jordan, go get kicked in the head, bud. And then be like, oh, we have to make a concussion.
Oh, Arriaga, kick him in the head.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if it's ever like obviously abused in order to make that sub.
I think that the doctors involved in, I wonder if there has to be some sort of independent medical professional that handles that.
Mm.
I bet you that's what we'll end up looking at.
From what I was reading, so I've actually got the news.
Oh, gross. You were reading about it? That sucks.
Yeah. So it says the match officials cannot be part of the team's decision-making process as to whether a player should be substituted or not. So it's a team decision-making process. And the match officials can't be like, there's a head injury, I think it's a substitution, you need to make that substitution. So really, I think it's just the team's the team's doctor, the team's medical staff who does the, you know, the magic tent that Russell Wilson goes into for 30 seconds, drinks bubbly water, and then comes out and is no longer concussed. I think if we can get that magic tent and that bubbly water, we have the guys, Lagerway and Wabel, magic tent.
I don't even know where to go from. I can't believe you wove the magic back in. That was amazing. All right. Well, looking forward to the match next week. We'll pod once more before that happens just to get excited about all the specifics of it.
I don't even know who they're playing right now, so...
In case you just woke up from concussion protocol, it's time for TLDL, Too Long Didn't Listen. Too Long Didn't Listen.
Loggerway and Wable are getting the magic act back together.
Shazam!
all right, Too Long Didn't Listen.
Brandon has telekinesis, can't talk to dead people.
Oh, I didn't know that.